Blog Talk Radio.
Might as well put your hands together.
Broadcast of It's Time to Pray, brought to you by Word on the Water International Ministries and WOTW Internet Radio. This is Apostle Gregory R. Vincent Sr., bringing you the very best of great gospel music and the Word of God. Straight from heaven's gates to your ear gates, we are It's Time to Pray. And man, I'm here to tell you tonight, oh, what a night, what a night, what a night. It's Love Fest Monday, y'all. Yes, it is. It's the 17th day of October. And man, I'm telling you, this month is almost over. Oh, come on, somebody. It's the new year is coming and coming quick. There's only a couple of more weeks before the election takes place, have you decided who you're voting for? Let me tell you something, Sage of God, just for me to you, because I love you so much, make sure that your voice counts. Make sure that you get out there and vote. I'm not going to tell you who to vote for, but you've already made up in your mind pretty much who you're going to vote for. So make sure that you go out to the polls. Don't let there be any excuse. Go to the polls and let your voice be heard. Amen. The only reason why you should not say a word about anything that goes on in our government is if you don't vote. You have no voice. Amen. Amen. That's just for me to use a good doctor, because I love you. I love you, love you, love you, love you, love you. Saints of God, we got some great things going on right here on It's Time to Pray. Want to welcome the newest member of It's Time to Pray team. Oh, yes, the newest member has just come on board all the way from North Carolina. We've got somebody new. She is going to, well, I don't know when she'll be able to talk to us. It's going to be some time, actually. Brother Charles Simpson just had his baby girl on yesterday morning around 5 a.m. Yes, he did. Brother Charles had a beautiful 7-pound, I forget how many ounces, little baby girl. And Charles and Ryan are just ecstatic about the day that Riley came to pass. And, man, I tell you, Charles is, he's really, really excited as a new father. Seeing some of the pictures, and man, I tell you, beautiful baby girl. And want to just welcome her to the team, welcome her to the It's Time to Pray family, and just let her know how much we truly love her, and we're supporting her with everything we have. Amen? With our prayers, with our finances, you know, whatever it takes to make her settle into this earthly plane. Amen, because she came out of a heavenly realm down to this earthly world, and just like all of us did, and now she's a part of this team. Amen. Amen. So yeah, Brother Charles's wife, Ryan, gave birth on yesterday morning, 5 in the morning, after being in labor for over 24 hours, 9 pushes, and then baby came without any hesitance and without any problems. Amen. You know, and I was talking to Brother Charles today. It was really funny. One of the things that Charles said, that he said, Doc, he said, I feel so tired. He said, you know, I was in the room sleep last night, and the nurse came in there, and she needed to weigh the baby, and she said something to me, and I didn't really understand. He said that next thing he knew, he woke up, and the baby was gone. Charles said he jumped up trying to figure out where his daughter went to. He said, Apostle, he said, I'm not going to tell you no lie. He said, I was going to hurt somebody because I didn't know somebody came in and snatched her. He said that he called the nurses, and the nurses had to calm him down and make him realize that they had her, and, you know, they were just taking her weight and her statistics and things and whatnot. And Brother Charles, he is so excited. He really is. He's exhausted, but yet still he's tired. He said, Apostle. He said, man, she done lost all that weight already. He said, all of that weight that she gained was the baby. I said, yeah, that's usually how it goes. You know, so he's excited. I'm excited. You guys should be ecstatic and just rejoicing that we have another little one that is on the side of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Well, bless the name of Jesus. You know, saints, we're going into the winter months. We're going to go into winter. Time is about to change here. What is it? In November, I think it is. It changed. October, I can't remember. But when the time changes, this is the time that we need to do a few house cleaning rules. We need to change the batteries in our smoke detectors. We need to change the filters in our heaters. We need to make sure that our house is prepared for the winter. That means now is the time to go up on your roofs, hire somebody if you have to, get all the pine straw out of the gutters, get all the leaves off of the house, and let's winterize. Let's start to pull in the things that don't need to be outside, and, you know, police up the area. Just clean up the area and get it ready for the winter. Amen. One thing I will share with you, those of you who live in the north or anywhere where it gets rather cold,
One of the things we see problems with are pipes bursting when it gets awful cold. Go by Home Depot. It doesn't cost, actually, it really doesn't cost a whole lot of money at all. Insulate your pipes. Insulate your pipes. Take care of your pipes before you have to call a plumber. I'm telling you, if you just take 2 hours to go to Home Depot, Kmart, or wherever else you may have to go to, and get pipe installation, go get it. It's a foam covering. You just cut it, you put it around the pipe, tape it onto it, and boom, you're done. It's so simple. Tape up your pipes, and you don't have to worry about them bursting. Amen? That's just from me to you because I love you so much. And, you know, one of the things is I don't want you to have any out-of-pocket expenses this year, this winter. Man, do what you got to do for preventive maintenance, and guess what? Your house will take care of you. Amen? Amen. Well, we're about to get into the power of prayer. We're going to go to the throne room of God with prayer and believe God for who he says he is and what he says he can do. Amen? So what I need you to do right now is to open up your minds, your hearts, and your souls, and let's believe together that God can bring change, that God can open up a door of opportunity, that God can step in during your midst of danger. Amen? Amen. Let's go to that place. Well, Heavenly Father, as we come before your throne room of grace tonight, we say thank you. Thank you for being a God of more than enough. Thank you for being the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Oh, great I am. I thank you tonight for every person that's listening to this broadcast, be it live or archived. Lord God, those who are in tune with wanting to learn more about you, those who have a desire to seek you even the more. Father God, I ask that you touch them from the crowns of their heads to the soles of their feet. God, give them the ability to call upon you so that you can answer them and show them great and mighty things. Father God, tonight, I just thank you in advance. I thank you for Brother Charles and Sister Ryan, Ryan. Lord God, as you have blessed them with a new baby girl, Lord, I thank you right now that you continue to love upon them like never before. Show them great and mighty things and just bless their walking, bless their coming, and bless their going. Lord, let there be no lack. Let them be in a place where they can receive from every angle that you start to pour out onto them. Father God, I pray for ministers throughout this land. I pray for every pastor, teacher, evangelist, apostle, prophet tonight. Lord God, I ask that you strengthen their mind, body, and soul. Let them preach the gospel. Let them teach the oracles that you have given them to teach, Father God, and allow them to go forward without any spirit of fear or any fear of people walking away. Lord God, I thank you in advance for the victory for each and every one of them, for what you have called them to do and what you have anointed them for a time such as this. Now, Father God, I pray for the military forces. I pray for the Army, the Navy, the Air Force, the Marines, the Coast Guard. I pray for men and women all around the world tonight that are deployed and that are stateside. Lord God, I ask that the hedge of protection be with them tonight. Those individuals that are in harm's way, Lord God, I ask that Psalms 91 be their covering and their protection. Lord, let the angels be released tonight. Let the angels hover in and around warships tonight. Oh, Father God, I thank you in advance for the victory for these men and women, for the duty that they are called to do. Let them not walk in the spirit of fear, but let them have a sound mind tonight, Father God, and let them realize that they can call upon you and you'll answer them and you'll show them great and mighty things. But Daddy God, I can't stop there. Tonight, I pray for every police officer, every firefighter, every attending physician, every paramedic tonight. Lord, as their prospective jobs call them to go in different arenas, Lord, I ask that you be with them. Let them not walk without you, Lord God. Let them not walk without the angels that you have called to protect them. Let them not walk or do without you speaking for them and through them, Father God. I thank you in advance, Lord, as they go into these places to help, save, and change. Lord God, that you will be right there with them, that you'll show them great and mighty things. Oh, Father God, I thank you in advance for them tonight. But, Daddy, I can't stop there. I pray for leadership all around the world. I pray for the president, the vice president, their prospective families. I pray for every senator, every governor, every representative tonight. I pray for every mayor right now. Lord God, that you'll touch them and you'll change their mindsets, that you'll open up their hearts and let them receive from you, Father God. They've received from man. They receive from people. They receive from stuff. But now, Father God, I ask that you allow them to receive from you. Lord, that you will give them the ability to have an awareness and to have a focus on the things that you have called them to do. Oh, but great I am. I can't stop there tonight. There's men and women, boys and girls that are incarcerated, locked up in county jails, city jails, federal penitentiaries, and juvenile detention centers. I ask, Father God, that you just be right there where they are. Lord God, touch their minds and hearts tonight. Give them the ability to call upon you so that you can answer them, show them great and mighty things. Father God, I thank you, even in that place of gloom and doom, in that place of turmoil, Lord God, that you can change the mindset. You can change even the heartbeat, Father God, no matter what they've gotten, what they've done to get there. Father, I thank you in advance that you'll change whatever needs to be changed. So when they do come out, they come out a new creation. They come out a new creature. They come out an individual filled with love and understanding, compassion from fellow people. Oh, Lord, no matter what it took for them to get to that place, I know that you are a sovereign Lord, that you're a God of more than enough, and that you can open up opportunity for them. But, Daddy, I can't stop there tonight. There's people that are homeless. They don't have a place to call their own. They don't have a bed to lie in. They don't have a couch to sit on. Father God, they're living up under the underpasses and overpasses right now. They're living in cardboard boxes right now, Father God. They're eating out of garbage cans, Father God. So I ask and seek your face tonight that you'll stretch your mighty hands across this land or throughout this entire world, Father God. And let's take hunger. Let's take starvation. Let's take homelessness out of the equation tonight. I thank you in advance for the victory for my brothers and sisters, Lord. Lord, and I thank you that somebody will touch them, that somebody will help them, somebody will encourage them, somebody will love upon them and bring them back to where you desire them to be. Oh, Father God, I can't stop at that place, though. Lord, I need you now to touch people that are in the hospital. Lord, that man that's going through his cancer, that woman that's going through her chemotherapy treatments, that young baby that's got liver disease and sickle cell, Father God, I thank you that you send angels down to walk through the corridors of these hospitals and these hospice centers, Lord God. Father, and allow your angels to have a healing touch, to where even the doctors around the world will start to be amazed this night that for some unknown reason, people started getting healed and the doctors can't explain why. I believe it to be done. I believe it to be done, Father. I believe that high blood pressure, sickle cell, leukemia, breast cancer, colon cancer, and so many other things will be turned around this night. And it's through the blood of your son, Jesus, that died on Calvary's hill so that we could have life and have it that much more abundant. Father, I thank you, and I honor you, and I praise you, and I give you all the glory for it. Now, Lord, that child that's about to be in an accident, that mother, that father that is about to be in a situation, I ask that angels be dispatched even right this moment to protect, defend, so that you can get the glory and the honor and the praise. This is our prayer tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 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 Well, saints of God, yes, I told you the good news. Hallelujah. How many of you all know that the gospel of Jesus Christ is the good news? How many of you realize the real meaning of the gospel is the good news of Christ and his life and his expectations and what he did? That's what the good news is. And I'm sharing some good news with you guys. We heard Brother Charles's wife, Ryan, had the baby girl yesterday morning, and we just glorify God for that safe delivery. Both are safe, and she's due. Matter of fact, she's due to go home tomorrow sometime, and then that's when the countdown starts. See, let me show you something. Can I share something with you? And I told Brother Charles I was going to brag on him tonight. You know, Charles got a little worried about being able to be home. He knew that he was being deployed overseas with his unit. He knew that the Marine said that he could stay and leave after the baby was born. But for whatever reason, and only God knows why, they deployed Charles and sent him overseas. You know, the military told Charles that we'll give you the time off to go home, be with your wife. 10 days after she's home from the hospital, you got to come back. But the only catch was, now watch this. Let me show y'all a ram in the thicket. They told Charles that because it's family, you're going to have to foot the bill. We'll fly you. Now, the military was going to fly Charles from where he was to the first point of embarkation in the United States. So wherever that transport plane landed, he had to find his way home. It was on his dime at that point. But look at this. Let me show you the ram in the thicket. There was a gentleman, another Marine, that was unfit to be there, mentally unfit. So they had to figure a way how to get this man back to the States, and he had to have an escort to escort him back home. They went to Brother Charles and said, listen, we need you to escort this soldier back to North Carolina. Charles said, no problem. He got on the first plane, and they foot the bill all the way for him to come back home. He didn't have to pay a dime where he once was. Now, because he brought a sick Marine back home, they've got to now pay his bill, his flight, to go back overseas to Japan. And when he gets there, he's not going to pay not one dime. See, you better realize that worry, we got to throw worry out the door. And we got to trust God. And I kept telling God, Charles, I said, God's got something in store. God's got something in store. You might not be able to see it today, but God's got a ram in the thicket for you. There's a ram in the bush with your name on it. There's a ram waiting just for you. You know, and as I was talking to Charles today, he says, you know, Apostle P, he said, you're so right. God took care of me. The Marines took care of me. And you know, he's going to do the right thing. He's going to do the great thing and go back and finish his tour overseas. And like I said, his time starts ticking Wednesday. Because she goes home on Tuesday, then the next day they start the countdown of 10 days, and then he's got to be redeployed. So let's keep Brother Charles lifted. Let's keep Sister Ryan lifted and their baby lifted. But God already did it. All Charles wanted to do was be home to watch his baby girl be born, and God made it happen. Amen. Isn't God good? Isn't God good? Well, tonight I want to finish up our study on God's promise of protection during your midst of danger. I want you to get your Bibles. I want you to get your pens, papers, highlighters, whatever you need to take copious notes. And I want you to really start to contemplate on some of this message that I'm going to give you tonight. See, some of you all have been afraid. Oh, come on, somebody. Some of you all have been afraid of trials and tribulations because of the fear of the unknown. We fear what we don't know. But see, we walk around and we call ourselves Christians. We walk around and we proclaim to be saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. But yet and still, fear enters the camp. Well, you know, yes, Holy Spirit, let me do this real quick. See, it's a funny thing when we start calling ourselves Christian and Christians, plural. Because if we really look at the Bible, if we really study the Bible, and I'm talking about the King James, I'm talking about the Geneva Bible. Now, I'm not talking about these New Age Bibles. I'm talking about what has the real word in it. The Geneva Bible, the King James Bible. If you look at these two Bibles, the word Christian, singular, is only found twice. Only two times in the Bible will you find the word Christian. Only three times will you find the word Christians, plural form. Only three times. But you're going to find believers all throughout the Bible. See, the word Christian is a man-made word that the Roman Catholic Church came up with. See, they said, if I'm a Christian, that means I'm Christ-like. My God. But if I'm Christ-like, why isn't that not in the Bible? Why is it that, it's not emphasized a lot? Because it actually is in the Bible, but very few times. But when we look at the word believer, it's all throughout the Bible. When we look at the word believers, it's all throughout the Bible. See, now I'm going in a different spin right now, but we got to get to a place where we drop man-made and take on what God desired. See, God said, I didn't make you a Christian. That's man's way of doing things. I made you a believer. I didn't make you a Christian. I made you a believer. Through my son, Jesus, you believed. Through my acts, you believed. See, we got to eradicate and eliminate anything that man has made. Anything. And we've got to walk in the will of God. Now watch this. Watch this. Why was the word Christian and Christians put in the Bible? Well, if you go back to the original word, you're not going to find it at all. It's when King James decided to rewrite the Geneva Bible because the Geneva Bible was hard to read. And do you all know, Lord, why do you have me doing this tonight? Do you realize that William Shakespeare, now I know a lot of you don't realize this, King James hired William Shakespeare, among some other individuals, to rewrite the Bible and to take from the old Bible, the Geneva Bible, and input things into the new Bible. Why do you pick William Shakespeare? Because William Shakespeare had a way of communication. He was a literature author. He was a signator author. And King James understood that if I get people like William Shakespeare to write this new Bible and put some of the things I desire for it to have, then it's going to sound good and it's going to be good. Well, William took a lot of the old and kept it just as it was. And some of the things he added to it, and one of the things was Christian and Christians. Go back and study. See, now I'm not talking about the NIV because we know that's an erroneous book. See, the New Living Translation is a good Bible. It's a good study Bible. The NIV, though, is a book that has been picked apart. And then you've got all these little offsprings of the Bible, where people are coming up with their own ideology and adding and taking away from it. You know, the one book that we should always stay away from, and that's the Jehovah's Witnesses book. Their Bible, they sliced and diced it. They just manipulated that book to what they wanted it to say. So we got to be careful of what we call ourselves and how we act. God's promise of protection is for the true believer. It's for those who believe that God is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. You got to get an understanding that when I serve a God who's more than enough, I'm serving a God that is unlike Buddha. I'm serving a God that's unlike Allah. I'm serving a God that's nowhere like a Krishna, but I'm serving a true and living God that lives even this day. All the rest are dead and gone. How can you be a God and die? See, we serve a God, a true God, who created the heavens and the earth. But see, we got to understand, if we serve this God, we got to really start to decipher this word so that we can become formulated to it. In other words, we've got to transform ourselves into the word. You want God's word to work in your life? Then transform yourself to the word, every morsel of it. Well, I like the easy reading Bible. Well, maybe you need to go get you a hard reading Bible. But Doc, you know, does it really take all that? Yes, it does. Matter of fact, let me show you something. I'm going to show you what fear can do and what fear with what happens when you don't have fear. We've all heard the story of Job. We all know about the trial that Job went through. Now I'm going to ask you this simple question. Have you ever experienced pain and suffering? I have. I am right now. Then you have shared Job's anguish and perhaps his wonderment. Like Job, you also may have found God much closer than you thought. The book of Job in the Bible is a story of a devoted man who lived thousands of years ago, but tragedy hovered over a righteous man. Now hear this, tragedy hovered over a righteous man. When the Bible talks about Job, we're reading and understanding, here's a man who's about to lose everything he has. He's about to lose his property. He's about to lose his wealth. He's about to lose his good name. He's about to lose his health. And my God, he's even about to lose his children. Why will Job suffer such tragedy? Because God is about to challenge the devil with Job's obedience and faith. My God, there it is in a nutshell. There it is in a nutshell. Why do I have to go through what I'm going through? Why, God, why do I have to go through this divorce? Oh, God, why do I have to go through this foreclosure? Oh, God, why do I have to go through my house being taken away from me? Why do I have to go about going through a lost job? Why do I have to have a child at birth die? My God, Job is about to experience all that and more. Job is about to suffer a tragedy because God challenged Satan with Job's obedience and faithfulness. Now, wait a minute now, Doc. Hold up. Did God challenge Satan or did Satan challenge God? No, God challenged Satan. Because Satan went to God and, you see, a lot of y'all still, my God, Jesus, can I just share something with you real quick? See what you guys got to understand. There is still communications between the Most High God and Lucifer. Oh, yes, there is. There is communication still that goes forward between the two, my Lord. But see, some people would say, oh, no, God's a loving God. He will never talk to Satan. Oh, the book of Job shows you that totally the opposite. It says Satan went to God and said, look here, you know what? If I did a few things to some of your folk that you call faithful, guess what? They'll leave you and turn their backs on you, and they'll start to follow me. He said, try my boy Job. And why was it that God, out of all the people in the land, why is it that he picked a man that had such a great family, such great wealth and prosperity? Because, see, let me show you something. You take the wealth of an individual away from him, and you take the earning capability away from that person. The average person will turn their back on God and they'll take upon Satan's will and ways. But God threw a monkey wrench at Satan. God looked at Satan and he told him eye to eye. He said, let me tell you something. You can do whatever you want to do to my boy Job. Because, see, Job is perfect in my eyesight. Job is blameless. Job is honorable in my eyesight. So you go on and you try Job, but, see, I always told you guys where there's a but, there's power. But you better not kill him. You can do whatever you want to do, but you better not kill him. Now, see, it's an interesting thing because God didn't tell him he couldn't kill his livestock. God didn't tell him he couldn't kill his crops. God didn't tell him he couldn't kill his children. God didn't even tell him he couldn't make the man sick. But what God did say, do what all you have to do, but don't let him die. Don't take him to the place of death. Now, Job had no clue that this conversation went on. And see, I can hear some of you even to this moment saying, but see, maybe that's what I'm going through. I'm going through this trial and tribulation because God and Satan had a communication, and maybe God told Satan to come and try me. Well, let me tell you something. Are you blameless? Are you like Job? Are you faithful? Are you honorable in God's eyesight? If God, I thank you. If the answer is, I don't know, then it's no. It's no. And see, for the most part, most of our calamities happen not because of Satan, but because of self. Okay? Let me just clear that one myth up. Not because, excuse me, Satan stepped in, but it's because self and pride took in and we lost focus on who we desire to serve. Oh, yeah, it happens every day. Now, watch this. The introduction of the book of Job tells us the background of God's challenge and Job's suffering. And this thing between God and Satan, to the point where Satan said, I'm going to pull out every fiery dart, every dirty trick to make Job slip up and renounce God. But now I'm talking about God's promise of protection, right? Now watch this. I'm not finished with this. Now, Satan got Job to the point where his livestock was gone. His crops were destroyed. His sons and his most beautiful daughters were all killed and gone. Job got even to the point where he was skin and bones, and his name, because of how he worshiped, how he praised, and how he loved upon God, not just in his home, but even in the community. See, all the folk around Job knew how much God was a part of his life and that he would never turn his back on God. And they even started to doubt everything about Job. So Job's name started to be talked about. Job's friends started to come against him and say, you know, wait a minute now, if you serve such a mighty God, why did all your children instantaneously die? Why did your crops wither and die? Why did your cattle wither and die? What is going on with you, Job? You must have done something wrong. You must have slept around. You must have been drinking. You must have been doing something that you had no business doing. See, that's the first thing folk are going to come back at you and say, you did something to disappoint God. But no, Job never did a daggone thing. What he did, he worshiped God even the more. How many of you, when you're going through your trials and tribulation, when you're going through your divorce, when you're going through the death of a loved one, how many of you are calling out to God and saying, Lord, I still worship you. Lord, I still praise you. See, we got to understand what Job's life was all about. Job's troubles began after God presented him to Satan as an example of virtue. God gave Satan a picture of virtue, and Satan hated it. He despised it. and he figured, I'll destroy it. God soon allowed Satan to affect Job, but God is not punishing Job for sin, and we've got to understand that. God was not punishing Job because of a sin nature in his life, and it's all just the opposite. God allowed this to happen because Job had virtue, and Job was blameless and upright. He was one who feared God, and he shunned evil. We've got to understand that even through Job's trials and tribulation, even to the point, see, and this is the interesting part right here, at the very end, before he started to get everything back. See, Job went through sick, skin and bones, not eating, not drinking. But one of the things that I when I read the story of Job, and I was really, I fell in love with how Job dealt with adversity. What Job did was he cut all his hair off. He took a razor and he cleaned himself. And he started worshiping. Why did Job cut the hair from his head? It was a sacrifice. You already got my cattle. You already got my children. You already got my crops. All I have left. You got my riches. You got everything that I've got, even my name. So only thing I can sacrifice is myself. So Job cut all the hair off his head. He cut the hair off his body, and he worshiped. He clothed himself in a croaker sack, and he began to worship. He began to praise. And he sought God's face even the more during the trouble and trial. Satan started to realize that, my God, I killed his kids, I killed his cattle, I killed his land, I killed his source of income, but still, this man won't stop worshiping God. See, we got to get to a place where we're not going to stop, give up, and give in. See, it's so easy for us just to say, oh, man, bump this. Man, this cancer done jumped on me. You bump this. Lupus caught on me. Come bump this. I lost my job, my house, my wife, my kids. Bump this. You know what Job told his wife one day? Job was laying, relaxing, skin and bones. Looked like death, smelled like death. I mean, you got to realize that this was a farmer. So he was of well-built stature. So when this man went down to skin and bones, his wife finally turned to him one day after praying and after crying out and after sparing not. She finally looked at Job with pity in her heart, and she said, Job, my beloved husband, surely you should curse your God and die. That's an interesting concept for a wife to say. See, my God, and I'm going to get to this thing. His wife told him, not because she was wanting to get remarried or that she desired to do something different. She said this out of love, out of a love affair for her husband, because she didn't want to see him suffer no more. She knew that if he was to turn his back and curse God, God would allow Satan to destroy him. But God knew who he chose. When he chose Job, Job looked at his wife with the last bit of strength that he had in his body. Job mustered up the words and the encouragement to his wife, and he said, baby, though he slay me, yet shall I serve him. Though he's taken my children away, I'm going to still worship him. Though I lost all form of who I am and my identity, I'm going to worship the Most High God. I'm not not going to give up on the great I am, because I know somewhere God has not given up on me. I know there's some entity that God still loves me enough that he's going to turn this thing around. Oh, good God Almighty from Zion. Some of y'all don't hear what I'm telling you tonight. I know you don't want to say amen, but that's all right. See, Job was telling his wife, yeah, baby, though our children are gone and we can't bring them back from the dust, I know the God that I serve is more than enough. I know he's my healer. I know he's my El Shaddai. I know he's my way maker. I know he's my Jehovah Jireh. I know he's my Jehovah Nissi. See, Job was letting his wife know that, baby, you can talk crazy if you want to, because, see, you're not the headship. I'm the headship in this house, and I'm going to worship God even in my time of trial. During my time of tribulation, I'm going to call upon God, and I'm going to seek his face even the more. I'm going to turn my plate to the downside, and I'm going to worship him with everything that I have. Though I may be skin and bone, I'll never turn my back on God. Though my name has been run through the mud, I'm not going to turn my back on God. Though my children are gone, I'm not going to turn my back on God. Though my cattle, my way of fortune is gone, I'm not turning my back on God. And at that moment, God stepped in. And God started breathing life back into Job. God's promise of protection during your midst of danger, even in the scenario with Job, is so important to understand. Job, the whole story of Job is hope for the hopelessness. There's joy when there's only sorrow to be seen. See, some of you all, not everybody, but see, some of you all have been standing around saying, oh, woe is me. Why did this have to happen to me? Oh, God, I don't understand this. Job didn't have a pity party. Job had a praise party. His wife was trying to instill pity, but Job chose praise. And when praise comes up, when praise goes out, God shows up. He comes into the midst of your situation. See, this is what I got to get you guys to understand, that when you're going down the highway and you see an accident that's about to take place, you start worshiping, praising God like never before. You start shouting glory, hallelujah. Father, I worship you, and watch what's about to take place. See, what you thought was going to be death coming your way, good God Almighty from Zion, you're going to see nothing but life. God is going to God, I thank you. He can restore, just like he did for Job. Yeah, but Doc, I lost my baby. My wife, we lost that child. Our daughter was killed, or our son might have been murdered. But let me tell you something. That child lived the life that they were supposed to live. And now they're in the house with God. We've got to get to a place, saints of God, that we got to come out of pity and we go into praise. And when praise comes up, God's got to show up. That's what he tells us. When we praise God, when we start to pray, see, let me break another myth. Let me break another myth. There's nowhere in the Bible, nowhere, does the Bible say when the praises go up, the blessing comes down? It does not exist. There's no place in the Bible that says that. That's a lie that people have been telling for the longest. But the one thing about it is, when the praises do go up, the presence of God shows up. The blessing actually does fall, but it's not written in the Word. The blessing is that God himself shows up during the praise. Paul and Silas showed you the very best. Paul and Silas, when they were in prison, in the center of that prison, bound, shackled, and in that jail cell, when they prayed, nothing happened. But when they started to praise God, the earth shook dramatically. We've got to get to a place, my brothers and sisters. I'm not going to be long tonight. We've got to get to a place where we start to praise God through our trials and tribulations. We got to praise God when the doctors sit up and say, you got cancer. We got to praise God when the doctors say, oh, you're going blind. You got glaucoma. We got to start praising God even the more when the doctors say, oh, you only have a short period of time left. You got to get to a place where you can praise God and stop having these pity parties and start having praise parties when God's promise of protection is upon you. See, let me explain something to you. When I taught you all about the When I talked to you and taught, Lord Jesus, I can't say it. When I taught you about the righteousness, when you became the righteousness of God, see, God's promise of protection was upon you. And see, when God's promise of protection is upon you because you're righteousness, then guess what? All you got to do is speak life and life happens. But Doc, you know, there's so many crazy things happen. Stop looking at the craziness. Don't you know that God is not a genie in a bottle? He can do whatever he wants to do. See, a genie can only perform what a genie can perform, but God can do all things. But Doc, there's no way in the world. I got stage 4 breast cancer. There's no way that God can heal. Trust him. Start giving God praise. Start giving God glory. I've got uterine cancer that's stage 4. I'm going to die. Look, shut up. Start praising. Stop the whining, stop the complaining, and start the praise festival. Be like Job. Strip yourself of all the earthliness and take on the form of godliness and allow God's presence to protect you during the midst of trial and tribulation. That's what Job did. That's exactly what Job did. Job took off earthly goods and adorned himself with the godly, and Satan could not penetrate him. Couldn't happen. But let me show you something. Let's look over at Psalms 112 and verse number 7. Chapter 112 and verse number 7. It says this. He will not be afraid of evil. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. That alone is assurance that God is with you during your time of trial and tribulation. When your heart is steadfast on God, yes, the doctors could have told you whatever, but God said you're going to have life and have it much more abundant. Why are you worrying about nothing? But Doc, hold on, that's not nothing. Now, cancer's something. Not in God's eyesight. Not in the Lord's eyesight. Matter of fact, hold up. I got to find this real quick. I think it's here. Psalms 27. I think this is what I want. Psalms 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Yeah, this is it. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Am I going to fear the report of what the doctors tell me, or am I going to believe the report that God is going to be God all by himself? The Lord is the strength of my life. Now, when you make God the strength of your life, how are you going to sit up and fear what man has told you? Apostle, I lost my job. Now, how is that going to affect me? When you have the Lord as the strength of your life and you're doing everything in obedience to the will of God, not only will that door be reopened, but a bigger door that no man could ever close on you shall appear. Now, listen to what it says. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat me up, my flesh, my enemies and my foes, they stumbled and fell. Why did they fall? Why did they fall? Because God was in the midst. Because God heard your praise. God heard your prayer. God heard your heartbeat. God knew that I need to show up in Samantha's life. I got to show up in Leslie's life. I got to show up in Johnny's life. I got to show up right now because they're going through. But Doc, people are still dying. Well, we all know that the day we were born, we're going to die one day. God never promises that we're going to be here forever. But he did say that he will be with us during our time of trouble and tribulations. You don't believe me? Proverbs 3 and 24. Proverbs 3 and 24. Now watch this. This is not for the Christian. This is for the believer. So if you're a Christian, this is not for you. This is for the believer of Christ Jesus. Amen? Oh, it is a big difference here. Now watch what Proverbs 3 and 24 says. When you lie down, you will not be what? Afraid. Yes, you will lie down and your sleep will be sweet. S-W-E-E-T. That's it. It's done. Why are you all having nightmares? Why are you being tormented? Why is it that you're afraid to go into this dark room and lay your head down and go to sleep? Because it might be because of the way you've been treating folks. Oh, no, Doc. Yeah, you're the Christian. You're the Christian. You're the one that beat up on people. You're the Christian. You're the one that killed Jesus. You're the Christian. You're the one that tries to talk about folk all behind their back. Oh, see, that's because you're not a believer. Relationship versus religion. Relationship, I'm breaking this thing down tonight. Relationship versus religion will open up opportunity for God to give you sweet sleep. You won't have to have another nightmare, not another day in your life. You will never have to be afraid to go in the dark room, close your eyes, and go to sleep. Why? Because no longer am I believing in this Christian type way of life because that's man-made. I'm believing in a believer's way because that's what the Bible says. And I'm going to walk and talk Jesus. I'm going to believe that God is my Lord. He is what? He's my light and my salvation. He's the strength of my life. If God's the strength of my life, then why do I need to be afraid going to sleep? See, now, as a child, that's different. Oh, you go see a scary movie. Yeah, trust me. I went to go see The Exorcist when I was a little kid. And I cried, kicked, and screamed and told my parents, no, I'm not going in that dark room. Not me. No, there's something up in there. My father said, boy, if you don't get your behind in that bed and go to sleep, I'm like, no. And I turned my light on, kept that light on until somebody turned it off. But the thing about it is, see, I was a child thinking as a child. But see, when I grew up, I threw away all the childish things. And I start to understand what Proverbs 3 and 24 says. It says, when you lie down, you will not be afraid. Yes, you will lie down and your sleep will be sweet. Oh, see, somebody saying, no, I'm a Christian still. You can't make me give up being a Christian. Okay, well, you stick with being a Christian. I'm going to stick with being a believer. Let's see what God tells us. Let's see how God is going to reform us. Trust me, I was in that same boat one time. I was Christian-based, Christian-believing, Christian faith and all that. I didn't realize it was man-made. Didn't realize that the word only appears a couple of times. But the word believer is all throughout. Let's go to Proverbs 18 and 10. This should really get you. Proverbs 18 and 10 says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. Didn't say the Christians. No, it didn't. It did not say the Christians. See, when you're a believer and you sit up and accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you become the righteousness of God. When you become the righteousness of God, then Proverbs 18 and 10 operates in your life. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. You better catch hold of this tonight. See, I'm not teaching you something that sounds good and feels good. No, this is a hard pill to swallow right here. I know it is. See, let me explain something to you. And I don't want to go off on a tangent about this, but I've got to make you understand certain things. The world has done a change. Women are becoming men, and men are becoming like women. And everybody thinks it's okay. See, when God created us, he created one man, he created the other one woman. And this man was the worker. He went out into the fields, he worked, he gleaned, he shoveled, he picked, he did whatever he had to do. He built. His hands would bleed, his arms would bleed. He would come home to his wife and she would mend his wounds. Now you got the woman doing the same thing that the man does. The Bible says the wife is going to be the helpmeet of that man. See, when that man needs to have his ego caressed, see, it's that woman that gently caressed him. When that man is beat down because of the hard work that he's done or the trials that he goes through out there in the field with the other fellas, she takes him and she loves him back to health. That's her job. That was the job of the wife. The wife's job has now changed. Now these brothers want to sit at home and be the woman. Do you know they got a new thing out now called the stay-at-home husband, the stay-at-home dad? My God. Well, the woman goes out and she works, and the husband stays at home with the skirt and the feather duster. Isn't that something? We've gone totally against the will of God. We have changed, because we're Christians now. We're Christians, and it's okay to do this because we're Christ-like. Because the Catholic Church told us we're Christ-like, we can do this. Okay. You believe that Catholic Church until it takes you to hell with it. Because I'm telling you, every pope and all those cardinals, they all busted hell wide open. Trust and believe that. Trust me on that one. They tricked you into believing it's okay for a woman to be equal to a man. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not coming against women in any form or fashion. But let's just be real. There's no way in the world God made a woman to be over a man in a relationship. I was telling a friend of mine today how I had a woman that I met. Very wealthy woman. And her whole persona was she was going to buy me into love. She was going to put herself in a position where she could buy me. And I never faltered and I never fell for it and I didn't give in to it. And I finally told her, I said, listen, let me explain something to you. My Bible tells me, and this wasn't long ago, I told her, I said, my Bible tells me that a man that finds a wife finds a good thing and he obtains favor from the Lord. Not a woman that finds a man. This woman wanted to fly me around in a Learjet. She wanted to give me, oh my God, saints, I'm telling you, this was crazy. And when I wouldn't give in, I was the most stupidest thing that she's ever met. Oh, I was best thing since bubblegum until I wouldn't give in. Now I'm stupid. See, that's just how Satan does. Satan tries to trip you up and challenge you in different ways. But you got to stand on the word of God. Brothers were telling me, man, I would have taken that thing and she could have bought me everything I wanted. Mm-mm, it comes with a price. That comes with a price, my brother. It comes with a price, my sister. Stand on God's word and trust it and operate in God's willingness and watch how you'll be the very best at whatever it is you're going to be. Now, the one thing you've got to do, and I challenge you, go in the Bible and look up the word Christian and look up the word Christians. See how many times you find it. 2 and 3. That's it. Now go look up the word believer. And you'll find the word believer in the Geneva Bible. You'll find it in the Greek and the Hebrew, but then when it came to King James, it got changed around. William Shakespeare said, the Roman Catholics use this new word. It's called Christians. Let's put that in there. Because the Catholics got to be right. Old Galatians, who has bewitched you? See, we don't know what we're reading. And we don't know who wrote what we're reading. You better learn to understand. Read, my brother. Read, my sister. Learn who wrote it. And you'll start to change. New doors will start to open up. Opportunity will come into your life. Look at the book of Isaiah, the 43rd chapter. Let's look at the first verse. Isaiah 43 and 1. And it's going to read as this. It says, "Fear not, for I have redeemed you." Oh, there it is in a nutshell. Because you call yourself a believer of Christ, because you have taken on relationship versus religion, you shed it off the cloak of religion. Now you placed upon relationship. Now God is saying, "Fear not, for I redeemed you. I have called you by your name." Uh-oh, now it's intimacy time. Here it is. Here it is. "I have called you by your name." Who's talking? God's talking. "You are mine." God just told you, "You belong to me. You belong to me, not the world, not the world, not your job. You don't even belong to your family. You belong to me, El Shaddai." When you, let me tell you something, God's promise of protection, you have no need to fear. It says right here in Isaiah 43 and 1, "Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine." Now watch what it says next. It says, "When you pass through the waters," come on, island folk, "when you pass through the waters, I will be with you." South Carolina, North Carolina, you just had that flooding. Florida, Georgia, you just had that flooding. The Bible is right here telling you, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burnt, nor shall the flames scorch you, saith the sovereign Lord of hosts." God's promise of protection during your midst of danger says, "Fear not. I've already redeemed you. I've redeemed you from your boss. I've redeemed you from that situation. I've redeemed you from that ex-wife or that ex-husband. I redeemed you from those dead relatives. I redeemed you from cocaine. I've redeemed you from alcohol. I've redeemed you from heroin. I've redeemed you from your sex addiction. I've redeemed you." You understand? God is saying that I brought you out. The word "redeem" here means I've got control. I've got you. Don't fear. Don't fret. I call you by name because you're mine. That right there. You all should write down Isaiah 43:2. 43 verse 1 and 2, and start to realize that when I become a believer of Christ, when I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior, when I accept El Shaddai as my God, then guess what? He has redeemed me from all of my past. I'm a new creation. I'm a new being. What you knew me 10 years ago, I'm not that person no more. I've been redeemed because of the blood of the Lamb, and righteousness now walks upon me. I've redeemed. I'm a new person. I'm not the same person I was back then. I'm new, and I'm filled with the love of God. You got to get to a place where you understand what God is trying to do for you. And let's look now, let's go over to Psalms 91, verse number 9. It says, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. God is telling you, because you've accepted me, because you have accepted my son, you have accepted righteousness, you've accepted what we can do for you, then guess what? I got you covered. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. Are you allowing God to be your dwelling place? Or are you allowing the bank to be your dwelling place? The bank holds your mortgage. The bank holds your title. The bank holds your deed. That's not your dwelling place. That's my place of business. See, we got to come out of under. We got to come out and start to understand who is who and what is what. We have fallen into a trap set up by man and Satan. By man and Satan. The trap was formed. And a lot of people got caught up in it. But I'm here to tell you tonight, even if you're caught up in that trap, there is redemption for you. How? Take on righteousness. How do I do that, Doc? I don't know how to do that. Surrender your life to Christ. Turn from your wicked ways. Let go of yesterday. Take on the will of God. Seek God's face first before you even look in the mirror at your own. When you're hurting, hear me well when I say this, because there's a lot of you out there tonight. I get prayer requests all the time from people, and I don't have a problem with praying for you, but my thing is this. I need you all to start looking at God first. When you formulate that relationship with God, then you have not to fear anything. You don't have to fear anything or any person. Job didn't fear when his children died. Job did not fear when his cattle died. Job didn't fear when his fields shriveled up and died. Job did not fear when his income died. Oh, now see, that's the wait a minute. Hold up, Doc. Hold up. Creflo Dollar said, I got to have my money. I got to be able to pay my tithes and offerings. You know, Benny Hinn said, if I don't have that money, I can't get prayed upon. That's because you're trusting in man and you're not focusing on God. These are tricksters. Oh, Lord, no, you didn't call Creflo and Benny Hinn and all the Kenneth Copeland. All. Yes, I'm telling you, they're all about getting your money. I'm trying to get you to a place where you can call on the one that can do the very best for you and has your heart. These people, these televangelists, they're something else. And they're going to pay for what they've done. And it's not for me to condemn them, but it's for me to bring awareness and let you know God is the one. He's your source. Your job is a resource, but God is the source. Your children are a resource. God is the source. Your husband, your wife is the resource. God is the source. God's promise of protection during your midst of danger only takes place when you become a true believer and you have true relationship and you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And that whatever calamity comes your way, you don't look at the calamity, but you look at the praise. You don't go into pity party mode, you go into praise party mode. I think my mother's on the line. She'll tell you. Back in 2000, when the doctors told me I was going to die, I didn't have no pity party. I didn't let them have no pity party. I'm like, man, I'm praising God. I'm giving God the glory, honor, and praise. Because I'm going to live and not die. Psalms 91. Man, I sit up and spoke Psalm 91 so hard, it was crazy. And you know what finally happened? When I got ready to leave the hospital, they wouldn't let me leave because it was a Sunday morning. The doctors were out playing golf. And the doctor said he wanted to come back and talk to me. And his whole thing to me was, I don't believe in God, but now I do. And I need to get a better relationship because of what I saw through you. He said, you didn't flinch not one time. You didn't cry not one time. You didn't pity party not one time. He said, but you gave it all to God. Now, he said, I'm a man of science. I believe in what I can see. You're a man of faith. You believe in what you can't see. And apparently what you can't see was much better than what I could see. And I need to understand this even better. I need to understand what it is that you have that I don't. Because there's no way that you should be alive right now. There's nothing that shows us that life was on your side. Nothing. He said both of your lungs were filled with blood clots from top to bottom. There's no way in the world you could have lived. But I don't understand what you understand, and I need to get that understanding. I just simply looked at him and laughed. I said, my friend, you said it best. You're a man of science. I'm a man of faith. I thank you for who you are. But I thank God for whose I am. Because who I am does not believe in science. I believe in the acts of God. And though you put me on a death sentence. Matter of fact, y'all think I'm lying. My mother's on the phone. I can pull her up right now, and she will tell you they told me that I was going to die within a matter of hours. That's how bad it was. That I was going to die in a matter of hours. They didn't want to even take me to the critical care unit because they were afraid that if they moved me and put me on that elevator, that the blood clots were going to shift and go to my brain, give me an aneurysm, and boop, you checked out. I'm a man of faith. I'm a man of belief. I'm a man of praise. And I believe every morsel that's written in that Bible. I believe if God says it's so, then it's so. If he sits up and tells me, do not be afraid, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You're mine. You better believe. When he sat up and told me, that when you lie down, you will not be afraid. You will lie down and you will have sweet sleep. You better know that you know that you know. But don't play with this thing and don't think that you can go around it. Because you might find yourself in a deathbed or in the grave. You can't play with this thing. You're either all the way in or you're all the way out. There's no halfway. God said, I can deal with you ice cold. I can deal with you burning hot. But that lukewarm person, I can't deal with at all. You got one foot in the church praising me, and you got one foot out in the club dancing with somebody else. I can't deal with that person. But that cold person, I can deal with because guess what? I can warm him up. That hot person, I can make them even hotter. See, saints of God, you got to understand, God wants to protect each and every one of us. He wants to give us all long life and longevity. We've got to take the time to receive him. We got to take the time to read his word and believe him. I'm going to give you a couple of more scriptures. I want you to read in your private time. I want you to go through these scriptures and just learn them. Psalms 4 and 8. Deuteronomy 33 and 12. 1 Peter 3 and 13. Psalms 121 verses 7 and 8. You know what? And you really need to read that one. You really need to learn Psalms 121, verses 7 and 8. Job 11, 18 and 19. Proverbs 1 and 33. Ezekiel 34 and 28. You read those scriptures. Start learning those. And watch God operate in your life. I love you all so very much. I love you with the love of Christ Jesus. And I'm here to tell you tonight, if you take the time to shed the will of the world and take on and transform into the will of God, his promise of protection shall always sustain you. I love you. God bless you. May the joy of the Lord be with you. I'm about to open up the phone lines. If you have something you want to say tonight, if you have a comment on tonight's teaching, if you don't even understand it, it's okay. I'll try my best to break it down for you if that wasn't good enough. If you have a prayer request, a praise report, it's your time. This is the time to call into the broadcast. The phone number is 657-383-0157. Once again, the telephone number is 657-383-0157. Call in, press 1 on your telephone, and I'll pull you right on up. Amen? Amen. Oh, bless the name of Jesus. You know, before we get up out of here tonight, I want to do something for Brother Charles Simpson. For his daughter, for Ryan and Charles, I want to blow the shofar for the blessing of your daughter. Let me do that real quick. And while I'm blowing the shofar, go ahead and press 1 on your phone. Again, the phone lines are wide open. If you have a prayer request, a praise report, or a comment on tonight's teaching, if you don't even agree with what I taught, you can say it. It's okay. I promise you, I don't get offended. Amen. Oh, I see my mother's on the line. God bless you, woman of God. How are you tonight?
Hey, God bless you, son. Wow, that's a powerful word you brought forth. And yes, bit of that was true. As you were saying it, I couldn't help but remember it. Something I'll never shall forget. I never shall forget the day they said that you were not going to be there. I said, the devil's a liar. And I prayed harder than hard. And I remember going to the hospital. I remember coming home. I remember going back to the hospital. They did move you. And I remember Elder Jordan going up to see you. And Elder Jordan said to you, do you feel something in this room? And you must have said yes. Elder Jordan could see the angels all around you and all around the room. And he said there was one angel that was actually massaging the blood clot. And I remember that. I'm like, oh my Lord, I knew this is nothing but the Lord. Yes, He has brought you through, and He's going to continue to bring you through. Do you remember that? Do you remember Elder Jordan telling you that? Hello? Hello? Did I lose him? Hello? Hello? Hello?
Evangelist Pinson, are you there?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead. Some kind of way we got cut off.
No, I was saying to you, when you were in the hospital, they did move you, and Elder Jordan came to visit you. And Elder Jordan asked you, do you feel something in the room? And you said, yes. Elder Jordan saw the angels all around your room. He saw the angel actually massaging the blood clot. And I thought, wow, God is so good. He is so good.
Yes.
And you know what? The angels are still around you, so you're not going nowhere.
Oh, amen. Praise God.
You're not going nowhere. And that was a powerful word you brought forth this evening. That was awesome. That was awesome. But I want to tell you that I love you,
amen.
And I praise God for you every day.
Amen. Well, we love you even more, and we believe God to continue to strengthen you and to continue on this journey of Love Fest. Amen. That's my mother, y'all. Yeah, that's Evangelist Pinson. And one thing about it is, hey, I'm telling you, she was there. She saw it with her own eyes. I'm telling you, when they said I was going to die, how many people have ever been told? How many of you, think about this, have ever been told you're not going to make it through the night and there's only 3 more hours left in the night? They literally put me on a death sentence. But how many of you know that the God that I serve, who is more than enough, made a way where there was no way? And there's some of you even out there tonight that has that same testimony that said, you know what, you're not the only one, because God did it for me too. And He did. He did it for you just like He did it for me, just like He did it for the woman with the issue of blood, just like He did it for Job. Saints, I'm here to tell you tonight, you have the ability. Now, my question is, what's holding you back from pressing 1 on your telephone? What's holding you back from allowing God to use you and speak through you so that others can be able to glorify God even the more? If you have a prayer request, a praise report, or a comment on tonight's teaching, I challenge you to press 1 on your phone. If not, we're going to get up out of here with a praise party, never a pity party, always knowing that Jesus is Lord. Man, don't wait till the battle's over. Come on, y'all. Let's fight together now, and let's defeat the devil at his own game. Amen? Amen. I'm telling you, Satan wants to kill, steal, and destroy, but God said, I'm going to give you life and have it that much more abundant. We saw that with the brother Job, and Job, oh, glory to God. Did I tell you the end of the story? Oh, let me tell you, double for his trouble. The crops that he had, doubled. The children that he had, doubled. The resources that he had, doubled. God gave him double for his trouble. I'm here to tell you, there's some of you that have gone through. God wants to bless you. God wants to give to you. He wants to restore you and give you for everything that was taken away from you. And He's going to do it if you allow Him to. He did it for me. He did it for me. And if He could do it for this old boy, He can do it just for you too. I love you all so very much. And since nobody else is pressing 1 on their phone, so that tells me all you all are good. Either you're scared to talk, you don't want to talk, or this wasn't worth talking about. I don't know which one it was. I just like feedback every once in a while. I really do. I like to hear from you guys. I don't know if you can hear me or not. I just need to know that, you know, you're okay and all is well. Amen. Praise God. Well, I tell you what, we're going to get out of here with a praise party, never a pity party, always knowing that Jesus is Lord. We're on this broadcast every Monday and Thursday night. Yes, yes, we are. Right here on It's Time to Pray. Tell a friend, tell a neighbor, tell a loved one that It's Time to Pray is a radio broadcast made and designed with you in mind. I love you so very much. Let's get up out of here with a praise party, never a pity party. I love you so much. Hey, for Brother Charles and Sister Ryan, for your newborn baby, come on, y'all, let's celebrate.
Come on, everybody, put your hands together. It's time to celebrate our Christ.
The Bible says that everything that has breath, praise the Lord. Come on and get on your feet and help us bless the name of Jesus.
Did anybody come to praise him today? Come on, let's celebrate him in this place today. Come on, come on.
yeah, it's a celebration going on. Yes, it is, and we're celebrating Christ Jesus. We're celebrating El Shaddai. We're also celebrating the birth of Brother Charles and Sister Ryan's new baby girl. God, I thank you for another night of Love Fest. God, I adore you for the things that you're doing and showing us each and every day, every moment of our lives. We love you so much, Father God. We ask that you just continue to keep us as the apple of your eye. Lord, we adore you and we bless your mighty name. Saints of God, I want to say thank you for tuning in to another live broadcast of It's Time to Pray, brought to you by Word on the Water International Ministries and WOTW Internet Radio. This is Apostle Gregory R. Pinson, Sr., letting you know that we're here just for you. God bless you. I love you much. God, good night.